Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to the Scriptures, may your Holy Spirit guide our thoughts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we all know, hindsight is a wonderful thing. We also talk about being wise after the event. Of course, when you know the end result, you can look back and see the past in the light of what you know now. But there is one big disadvantage, especially when considering other people's situations, and that is that you cannot experience again the uncertainty, doubt, and fear that may have been being felt at the time. Our subject this morning is the ministry of Jesus begins. So we will try to enter into that situation and understand the motivation, timing, and events surrounding Jesus going public, or coming out, as we might put it in modern terms. The Gospel writers' accounts were, of course, written to convey the good news about Jesus as Saviour of the world, and not meant to be a social and cultural commentary. And so we have to look for the clues that will help us. Even in our own lifetimes, the world has changed beyond recognition in many ways, let alone since Jesus was on earth some 2,000 years ago. But some fundamentals we still have, as they did then. Two of these are the family and the need to earn a living. There are not many references in the Bible to Jesus' childhood and youth, but from those we do have, we can see that Jesus grew up in a loving and devout Jewish family, living in Nazareth, where Joseph, his earthly father, was a carpenter. If we then jump to Jesus' words as he was crucified at Calvary, we hear that he gave his mother Mary to John into the care, gave his mother Mary into the care of John, which suggests that Joseph had died and that Jesus had been Mary's means of support. And it is reasonable to suppose that Jesus had learned to be a carpenter, and perhaps with his brothers had been carrying on the family carpentry business and earning sufficient to provide for the family. So, giving up the day job to become an itinerant preacher was not a decision to be taken lightly. It also seems that the family were not entirely happy about it. Let me read to you from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." With that kind of attitude to face, Jesus must have needed great determination and courage to do what he did. There is no doubt that Jesus needed to be sure that he was following his Heavenly Father's will and that he had got the timing right. We would probably express this as obedience to God's call. Later on, when teaching his disciples, Jesus told them several times that his sole purpose was to fulfill his Father's will, that he had come to save sinners, that he must suffer and die, but that he would rise again. However, we have reason to suppose that this revelation of God the Father's was not a one-off insight, but a process over time. The fact that the Gospels record that Jesus spent so much time in prayer indicates that Jesus needed constant contact with his Father. Also, you will recall the occasion when Mary and Joseph went back to Jerusalem looking for the 12 years old boy Jesus and found him in the temple. When Mary chided him, Jesus asked, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" So even at this early age, Jesus knew the call of God. But he then went back to Nazareth and was obedient to Mary and Joseph until the time was right. Over the last couple of weeks, you have heard sermons about John the Baptist preparing the way. God is the master planner. Long before John's ministry, God had already started working in Jesus' life, and it is worth us noting that preparation took place in the context of a devout, loving family over a considerable number of years. But the right time duly arrived, and our reading from the scriptures this morning pinpoints it precisely. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum. And verse 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Thus, we know when the public ministry of Jesus began. But why this particular time? To understand why, we must look at the events around this time. I suggest we consider the following: Jesus' baptism by John in the River Jordan, Jesus' temptation in the desert, John being put in prison, the calling of the first disciples, and where Jesus' ministry started. John the Baptist's message was one of the need for repentance because the Messiah was coming. His preaching was powerful, albeit his appearance was strange and his diet unappetizing, but great crowds of people from a very wide region went to hear him, and many were baptized in the waters of Jordan as a sign of their repentance. He was generally accepted as an old-style prophet, and he was the first such messenger from God in some 400 years. When Jesus came to be baptized, John initially resisted the idea, somehow recognizing that Jesus was holy and had no need of repentance. But Jesus persuaded him and that his baptism should go ahead. We can now look back and see that Jesus was identifying himself fully with the human race. He had no sin of his own, but he knew that the sins of all mankind were to be laid on him, and that he would eventually sacrifice his life as a ransom for us all. Matthew also tells us in the previous chapter, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Note that Matthew says, "He saw," that is, Jesus saw. And you might think that this was a private revelation to Jesus. But in the Gospel of John, where John, the Gospel writer, is talking about John the Baptist, in chapter 1, verses 32 to 34, we read, "Then John gave this testimony, 'I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." So the call of God to Jesus, which he first discerned at the age of 12, is confirmed at his baptism, and Jesus is assured of his Father's pleasure at his obedience to that call. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Matthew 4, verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. We don't have time to look at these temptations in detail this morning, but I'm sure most of you are familiar with them. Suffice it to say that despite the devil's subtle suggestions and quotations from Scripture, Jesus successfully resisted, and eventually he was left alone. And Matthew also tells us that angels came and attended him. In Luke's account, we read that after the temptation, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. In regard to the timing of the start of Jesus' public ministry, the significance of John the Baptist being put in prison may not immediately be apparent. But if we recall some of John's statements, it becomes clearer. John had made it clear that he was not himself the Messiah, but the voice of one crying in the wilderness, and that he was preparing the way. He also identified Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he furthermore said that he, that is Jesus, must increase and I must decrease. In other words, John knew that his own ministry was ending and that the ministry of Jesus would begin and increase. Jesus knew this too, but he obviously was not in a hurry to supplant John, his cousin, whom he said was the greatest, born of a woman. However, Jesus clearly saw John's imprisonment as a signal of God's timing, when he could start his own public ministry without risk of conflict with John's ministry. Jesus' first step was to leave Nazareth and to go and live in Capernaum, which was by the lake. And it was by the Lake of Galilee that he called his first disciples to follow him. They were Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and two more brothers, James and John, another John, all of whom were fishermen. From the lack of detail, you might imagine that these were casual meetings for the first time. But it is highly unlikely that these men would leave their fishing businesses to follow a stranger. In fact, if we delve into the various gospel accounts, we find that Andrew was around at Jesus' baptism when John the Baptist declared about Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." One of those who heard him was Andrew, who then went and found his brother Simon, that is Peter, and told him that they had found the Messiah. So obviously Peter was around too. It is highly likely that James and John were also part of the crowd from Galilee who had gone to Jordan to hear John's preaching. And it is also likely that all of these men had been baptized by John. In any event, they were willing to follow Jesus and become his disciples. Which brings us to our final point of consideration. Where did Jesus' ministry begin? Verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Although Jesus had left home at Nazareth and settled in Capernaum, he didn't leave the district of Galilee. A lesson for us, perhaps, that we don't need a call to go to foreign parts to become effective witnesses. In summary, therefore, what does the beginning of Jesus' ministry teach us? I would suggest we need to be aware of God's call and be obedient to it. We may not have a special call, but we are all called to be witnesses to Jesus' love. We need to expect temptation, but have confidence that God's Holy Spirit is with us to enable us to successfully resist. We need to realize that the time for us to get started is probably now. Amen. Amen.